We return this week to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 24 down to verse 25. 2 Samuel 12, verse 24 and verse 25. Let us hear God's word. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. Amen. May God add the blessing to the reading of his precious word. Dear congregation, there were dark days in the life of David and Bathsheba. They committed adultery, and as we saw last time, they incurred the displeasure of the Lord. And we know also they had that other grief. They lost a little child, and we took particular note of that last time. They were in great distress. However, David is comforted by God and his mercy toward him. He was pardoned his sin, as we shall note this evening. He was supported inwardly, and he knew that peace in his soul, that all was well for his little one. His little one was now in glory above, and peace entered his soul. Now, being comforted by the Lord, he goes and comforts Bathsheba, who was now his wife. And we simply read at the beginning of verse 24, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. And I like us tonight to particularly focus on those opening words of the text, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Now, reading on, we are told that he went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. They had lost one son, but now in the providence of God they were given another, and were assured of mercy and peace. Now, following this through right at the outset, we note that David was comforted by the Lord. And knowing comfort within his own soul, he goes and comforts Bathsheba, his wife. The Lord comforted him, and he was used by the Lord to comfort Bathsheba. Now, in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4, we read this. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. As we shall note tonight, Bathsheba knew that trouble within her soul, where David was used by the Lord to console her, to be of an assistance to her. Well, simply tonight, I'd like us to particularly focus on verse 24, the opening part, but we'll notice also the context here and various things surrounding this verse. But let's just read the opening part of the verse. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Well, four things here tonight. First of all, a distressed couple. Secondly, a God of comfort. Thirdly, a comforting husband. And fourthly, a comforted wife. A distressed couple, a God of comfort, a comforting husband, and a comforted wife. First of all tonight then, a distressed couple. Now, it's plain as you go through this chapter and consider the events here surrounding this time, that David knew great distress. Notice verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He knew that distress within his soul because of his own sin. And here he acknowledges it and confesses his sin. I have sinned against the Lord. His conscience was pricked. You recall Nathan had come and said, thou art the man, and those words through the Holy Spirit went right into his heart. His conscience was pricked, and he was distressed over his sin. And then consider further how he was in distress when he viewed his little one who became very sick. Verse 16. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And then come down to verse 21 and verse 22. We call the servants had come and they said, "What thing is this that thou hast done? For thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was yet alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live?" And so we consider David then. He's distressed because of his sin, but also viewing the little one who was so poorly, so sick. He was distressed about that as well. And then consider Bathsheba, his wife. She was distressed as well. We simply read in verse 24, "And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife." She was distressed. She was in need of comfort. And so we consider here tonight a distressed couple. Distressed concerning their sin, and then distressed concerning the loss of a child. Well, let's consider these two things. First of all, distressed concerning sin. David feels he felt his sin. "Thou art the man." And he was convicted. You recall that David had become angry as Nathan relayed that parable and the fingers turned on him. "Thou art the man." And he's humbled. He's convicted of sin. The Holy Spirit was at work in the life of David. And dear brethren, the Holy Spirit will convict of sin. And I'd like us to know two reasons why. First of all, it is part of his ministry. In John 16 verse 8, our Lord said, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." That reproving, that convicting, it is part of his ministry. And we do, brethren, we can look back how the Holy Spirit convicted us in that initial way. And we were those who were brought low. We had a true sense of sin and we grieved over it. There was a hatred of it. But also through the Holy Spirit, we were led to consider the mercy of God in Christ. We can look back at that initial time, parts of his ministry there. And we can consider his ongoing ministry in our lives. There have been times when the Holy Spirit has so come and convicted you and me. Our Heavenly Father is a faithful Father who will send the Spirit. Christ is a faithful Shepherd who will send the Spirit. The Spirit will be at work. And so there will be times in my life and your life when you feel convicted of sin. And let me say, though it is painful, it can be an aid to assurance that the Holy Spirit is convicting you, rebuking you. For we read, "Whom the Lord loveth, he rebukes." And, dear brethren, if you feel convicted from time to time under the ministry of the Word of God, or when you're reading your Bibles day by day, yes, it can be painful. But oh, let it be an aid to assurance you are the Lord's. The Holy Spirit will come. There will be times in our lives when we feel God's hand upon us. There may be some interval between us doing something and being convicted. As we notice here, David and Bathsheba committed that act of adultery, and it was some time after that Nathan came and said to David, "Thou art the man," and there may be an interval. Can I put it like this? We may have committed some sin, and we put it to one side, we put it out of our minds, but maybe a week later or a few weeks later, suddenly a verse of scripture comes. It may be these words, "Thou art the man." And we're reading, and the particular verse seems to home in on us, and to be like a finger pointing at us over some sin, and we feel God's hand upon us. the Holy Spirit will convict because it is part of his ministry. And dear brethren, between now and glory, we do expect that part of his ministry to convict us. Yes, we know that part of his ministry to lead us, to apply the word, the comforting truth, but there will be that convicting work. Dear brethren, we ought to be concerned if we do not feel from time to time the convicting hand of God. But it will come. So when we consider the conviction, it will come because firstly it is part of his ministry. The Holy Spirit lives within and he is at work. But consider another reason why you and me will be convicted over sin. And that is secondly, because the Holy Spirit loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. Romans 15 verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Now he's exhorting the brethren there, the apostle, that the brethren would strive together in prayer for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the love of the Holy Spirit. Now we can think of the love of the Father. He is such a loving heavenly Father, and he will put his hand on us to correct us. We can think of the love of the shepherd. He is the loving shepherd, and so he will come after us with the rod and the staff. He will deal with us. But let's also consider the love of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves you. He so loves you, he will convict you. But let that be an aid to assurance. When you feel convicted, it's because the Holy Spirit loves you. So you will be convicted, dear brethren. I will be convicted because of the love of the Holy Spirit. Consider this in the life of David. In Psalm 51, David thinks of the Holy Spirit. Take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. He knows that important ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we see here the Holy Spirit dealing with David. He loves you. And so he will convict you. It may be tomorrow morning, I do not know. But maybe something in your life that only the Lord knows about, and in your reading in the morning, you may be reading a few verses, and you know how it is. A verse comes out to you, and you feel humbled. You feel convicted. We will be convicted about our sin. And dear brethren, I am thankful that I will be convicted about my sin. For the Lord will come. He will come as that shepherd to bring back the lost, poor, wandering sheep. He will deal. We will be convicted. There will be this distress in our soul at times because of our sin. Maybe a wrong look, a wrong word, a wrong act. And the Lord will come and convict. Now turn with me to Psalm 38, and we're going to read a few verses here. Psalm 38, verses 1 through to verse 8. And we see here the psalmist, he's troubled about sin. He's in distress about his sin. Psalm 38, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. You know what that's like at times, don't we? We feel the convicting arrows of the Lord coming towards us. We feel his hand pressing so heavy upon us. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin, for mine iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken, I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. There's a man of God. He's convicted. He's in distress about his sin. Can I ask you lovingly as pastor, when did you last feel distressed about your sin? The Holy Spirit will convict, but all the Holy Spirit will point out the mercy of God in Christ again. He will cause you to plead for forgiveness, to cry out for mercy. Is there something troubling you? Some sin troubling you? You may be burdened about something. You're perplexed about some sin. You try to put it to one side, but there's no use. Well, the Holy Spirit's convicting. There will be this distress, you know, and I will know in my soul. Listen to Spurgeon. I am wearied with distress, grieving with pain, in sore travail on account of sin revealed within me. I am bowed down greatly, I am brought very low, grievously weakened and frightfully depressed. Nothing so pulls a man down from all his loftiness as a sense of sin and divine wrath concerning it. We will know times when we're brought so low because of our sin. We're to humble ourselves and in a penitent way seek forgiveness. Well, we thought of David. He's distressed. But consider also Bathsheba. She felt her sin. She had committed adultery. She was guilty. She felt her sin. Yes, as we will note in a moment, she was distressed over losing a little one. But in the first place, she was distressed because she had committed adultery. When we think of the subject of adultery again, as we did a few weeks ago, how some excuse their sin. Some make light of it. Consider, particularly at this point, the sin of adultery. How many Christians have committed adultery? Not only physically, but also we can consider that of the heart and have not yet been humbled. Or that the Holy Spirit would come and convict. But here then is a couple distressed about their sin. But let's move on this point now and consider secondly distressed concerning the loss of a child. David had been so low, he had wept so much. He was mindful particularly of that providence which was for him, what he had done. Now we're told in verse 22, he's speaking to the servants, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? He had wept much. Many hours he was so distressed. Well, he composes himself and goes to comfort Bathsheba, as we shall note in a moment, verse 24. But though he knows a measure of comfort now, he still knows distress. And then Bathsheba. Yes, she is distressed in view of what she had done in committing adultery, but so distressed in view of losing her little one. David, as we will note in a moment, goes to comfort her. It was so hard for Bathsheba. She had given birth, but soon the child had died. The joy of a safe delivery brings joy to many a mother and father. But many a mother and father have known grief as the child has soon died. And this has happened again and again. It's not isolated cases, is it? You know, we read our history books on the Puritans. We see how often this happened. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? As we think of so many parents who've known the joy of a safe delivery, but within days, they are distressed and the mother is so distressed. The child may live a number of years, but then has died. And what sorrow has gripped the hearts of many. In one's mind, it should have been the other way around. The parent first, but no, the child. Consider how many mothers have held little children in their arms. and the little ones have passed away. It runs into the thousands, the tens of thousands. It runs into the millions. So many mothers have held little ones who have passed away in their arms. And such distress. Think of Bathsheba here, the sorrow that descended upon her. The sorrow that agitates the heart, the tears that flowed down the cheek. She was brought low. She'd known the joy of a safe delivery, but now she's brought low. She's in distress, and so is David. In Psalm 107, verse 38, we read, "He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to the streets." There's increase, verse 39 again, "They are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction and sorrow." And how many mothers, how many fathers, the joy, another little one. And then within a few hours sometimes, or a few days, great distress. Think of the great distress here, particularly consider Bathsheba. Brought low, and that sinking feeling has come to many a mother, but also a father. Well, here then is a couple, they're distressed. And so many couples have been distressed over the years. So many couples have hugged each other as the tears have flown down their cheeks as their child has died. This is not a rare occurrence. It's happening all the time. Distressed couples. But let's consider secondly tonight, a God of comfort. A God of comfort. Now as we think of this, first of all, David was comforted by the forgiveness of his sin. Come with me to verse 13. "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also have put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." He's comforted here. Now in Proverbs 28 verse 13 we read, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Now consider that to begin with David, he was covering his sin. He wasn't prospering. He wasn't going forward, was he, in a spiritual way? But then there was confession and mercy was shown. "Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." What do we read here in verse 13? "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." Put away. It speaks of pardon, doesn't it? Such gracious pardon. David would not immediately face death. He would not die in view of the law for committing adultery. No. There was pardon. There was a putting away. It's a lovely description of forgiveness, isn't it? "The Lord also hath put away thy sin." It was before him, but it's put away. What a gracious putting away. Think of some of the sins we've committed. You've confessed them. Your Heavenly Father put them away. What comfort that is. A putting away, a covering, a non-imputing. Psalm 32 verse 1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." God knows everything. What a blessing to have sin covered. He will not bring it in order to charge one. "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." How amazing is the grace of God. We can think of it in that initial way when we were pardoned all our sins. How amazing is the grace of God. How amazing we ought to consider God's grace being every time we humble ourselves and know that forgiveness. How amazing is God's grace to go on forgiving our sins. How amazing is our Heavenly Father. He hates sin. He hates my sin. He hates your sin. But when you humble yourself, he puts it away. How amazing is his grace. How wonderful is his mercy. David knew comfort. His sins were forgiven. In Matthew 5 verse 4 our Lord said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." David, he feels his sin. "I have sinned against the Lord." He's mourning over his sin. And here comes a word of comfort. "The Lord also hath put away thy sin." The true humble penitent man will know comfort. There's the comfort of judicial forgiveness in that initial way, but that ongoing comfort of fatherly forgiveness. And we need to focus on that as brethren. We grieve our Heavenly Father and we need to seek his face. We need to humble ourselves and look to him and exercise faith and ask for forgiveness, that we might know the comfort of fatherly forgiveness, that we might know that pardon. We grieve him. It's a worrying time in the soul, isn't it, when we don't recognize that we fell our Heavenly Father. When we just go on, as it were, through the week. We're not really serious about our sin. That we grieve our Heavenly Father. Oh, what a blessing to know the comfort of fatherly forgiveness. Being convicted of some sin and confessing it to the Lord. "Lord, I've sinned against thee. I said that wrong. I did that wrong. I thought that wrong." And then the Holy Spirit applying the word and we're knowing that comfort. He, dear brethren, is a Heavenly Father to us. And so he will point out our sin. But when we humble ourselves and seek forgiveness, hear pardon, and we know the comfort. It's a wonderful subject, isn't it? And can I ask you, brethren, are you knowing the comfort of fatherly forgiveness? You're seeking the Lord. "Lord, I did that wrong." Or are you at a distance from the Lord? You're not treating sin seriously. You're excusing sin. You know, if we do not treat sin seriously, if we excuse sin, we're not going to know the joy of comfort over that sin. How precious it is when one is mourned over sin, to know that peace. You feel you've done something wrong and now you're seeking the Lord and that peace comes. What a comfort. To know the restoring of the light of his countenance. To know fresh discoveries of his love, presence and communion. The comfort of the Holy Spirit and the joy of salvation. Psalm 51 verse 12, remember this psalm was penned after David had committed that act of adultery with Bathsheba. And what's he crying? "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore to me." And the Lord lifted up his countenance, the light of it upon David. And there was that restoring. Let me illustrate it like this. Your heart is suddenly touched afresh. In view of what your Saviour did on the cross. "Oh, he died for me." And your heart is touched afresh. "Yes, my sins are forgiven. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." This restoring. And oh, what an amazing God we have. We grieve him, but he will restore. And the Holy Spirit that convicted us of sin will do that restoring work. And this peace will enter again the soul. You see, we have the ground of peace, do we not? But it's troubled because of our sins so often. What a blessing when there is that restoring. And we're humble before the Lord. And we just feel that peace from him. Our sins are forgiven. How precious it is when the Lord restores my soul. You know, we sing in Psalms 23, "The Lord restoreth my soul." And we can think in the first place of how maybe a believer is going through a difficult time and the Lord draws near and strengthens. They know that upholding grace, there's that restoring. But do not overlook that restoring when one has been backsliding and the shepherd has come And he's restored my soul. He's humbled me. He's brought me afresh to look to him. And he's brought me near. Oh, that restoring. The comfort of being forgiven. Oh, look to God. When we sin, we fail him. Do not run like Jonah, but turn to the Lord and seek forgiveness. He will comfort. What an amazing God we have. How often we sin against him as believers. Yet he will forgive. Micah 7 verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He delights in mercy. Think in that initial way. He delighted in mercy. He delighted in pardoning you your sin. And dear brethren, I tell you this tonight, he delights to forgive you in that fatherly way. And he's waiting for you. You've done something wrong and you seek his face, he's waiting for you. Because he delights in mercy. He delights to forgive you. He delights to restore your soul. He delights to comfort you. Where David knew comfort in view of pardon because of God. But consider further, in view of his little one, he knew comfort because of God. Thinking of God who comforts. He comforted David in view of his sin. His sin was pardoned. But now let's consider, he comforted David in view of his little one. Note those words again in verse 23. But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Is David? He's been weeping. He knows great distress. But the Lord comforts him. His little one's gone to glory. And how can David say that? How can any parent, godly parent, say that I shall go to him? It's because of the comfort of God, isn't it? David in this sorrow knows a measure of composure and comfort. I shall go to him. God has been comforting David. I shall go to him. He's got the comfort that his little one's in heaven. Lord, parents who love the Lord can look forward to seeing their little ones. And they have the comfort that their little ones are safe with the Lord and are happy and blessed. I shall go to him. Here's David. We thought already tonight of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in convicting. See this ministry in comforting David. I shall go to him. Now we read in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 through to verse 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. The Father of mercies. Does it not speak of how full is God in view of mercy? And how abundant are his mercies? New every morning are thy mercies. Great is thy faithfulness. We cannot count the sum of the mercies of God. So many, they're like the showers of rain coming down upon us. He is the Father of mercies. He is the God of all comfort. And what does that speak of? He is the source, the fountain of all true comfort. He's the source. He's the fountain. You look to the Lord. You turn to his word. He reveals the truth of his comfort. And he speaks a word of comfort through the Holy Spirit. He's the God of all comfort. If you're mourning over sin, turn to God, for he is the God of all comfort. He will pardon and he will comfort your soul. If you're grieving over the loss of a loved one, turn to God, for he is the God of all comfort. If you're upset by something in your life at this moment, turn to God, for he is the God of all comfort. He is the source, the fountain of all true comfort. Oh, the true comfort you have known has originated from God. He is the God of all comfort. He heals the broken heart. Broken by sin was David's heart, and it was healed. Broken by grief over the loss of his little one, and he knew that healing. He heals the broken heart. He calms a soul that is perplexed with sorrow. Psalm 147 verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He is the blessed physician. And what a work of the physician. You can feel wounded, bruised by sin. You seek the Lord and he binds up. He restores. You can feel so low. Many a mother, many a father have been brought so low, lost a little one. But then through the Lord being strengthened. He is the God of all comfort. David's a comforted man as he goes to comfort his wife Bathsheba. Now returning to 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4 we read, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And we see this clearly, do we not, with David and Bathsheba. God comforted David. And that's why we read here in verse 24 that David goes and comforts Bathsheba. Why could he comfort Bathsheba? Because of God's comfort that had entered his soul. Well, let's consider further then as we draw to a close. A comforting husband. A comforting husband. Verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Now, the root of the Hebrew word, it means to be sorry. In the sense of seeking to console. You know how it is, you hear someone's upset or ill, and you say, well, I'm so sorry to hear that. And you're seeking to console, to draw alongside. I remember once a young teenager, it wasn't me, was asked to go and visit a gentleman in hospital, and the grandfather said to the young man, go and say how sorry you are. Well, the man who was in hospital had fallen down a hole and broken his collarbone, and the young man thought, well, I didn't do it. Why have I got to be sorry? You didn't get the right sense. But here's the sense in the Hebrew. You're seeking to sympathize, to be sorry, to console. And here's David. I'm sorry, dear Bathsheba, but there's mercy to be found with the Lord. He's seeking to console. He does it in pity. When one says, I feel for you, I'm sorry you're going through this, it's because one has pity, and David has pity towards his wife Bathsheba. Now you notice at this time, Bathsheba is known as his wife. Verse 24, David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Here's David then. He's seeking to console her. He speaks about pardon here in verse 24. He speaks about God's grace and mercy towards them. He speaks about the comfort that their little one is now in heaven. Here then is David the husband, comforting Bathsheba, his wife. And think here of a couple. David, Bathsheba, here's a couple. We think of the husband seeking in love to assist his wife. See here the love of David. David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, we read, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Such love is to be in the heart of the husband. And you who are husbands, and I speak this to myself as well, we are to so love our wives. And in love, we are to so seek to comfort them. Colossians 3 verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. No bitter words, no unkind words, but only loving words. And if we ever say a bitter word or unkind word, we let our wives down and we sin against God. Comforting words here, in love. David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Think of a time of grief. The husband is to take the lead and seek to comfort his wife. You who are married here tonight, talk to one another in a time of grief. But then generally talk to one another. And each day talk of the Lord to one another. Talk of what the Lord has done for you. Be not general, but be specific. Recount the mercies of the Lord. Pray together, read together, sing together, rejoice together, laugh together. We read in Ecclesiastes a time to weep and a time to laugh. As we will note in a moment, there are times, many times of weeping we will face as couples. Make sure you laugh together. We have that exhortation, do we not, in Scripture? A time to laugh. Laugh together, but then mourn together. If there's the need, repent together over some sin. And when one is grieving, come alongside. Encourage one another. Seek to help one another. Grieve with one another in the valley of trial. Husbands, talk to your wives. Compliment them. You husbands here, when did you last compliment them? Say how lovely they are. You are. You do so much for me. You provide so many meals, so many cups of teas. So many times you help me. When do you last compliment? Every day, compliments should be given. Say how much you love her and comfort her. What do we read here in verse 24? David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. And let's focus on this for a moment. Consider the mother who has lost the child. She needs comforting. Husbands can be an instrument in the hand of God at such a time. And you husbands here tonight, you can be an instrument in the hand of God when your wife is walking through a valley of trial. Pity her. Honour her. Respect her. Honour her in their need. 1 Peter 3 verse 7. Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. And we note that dwelling together, spiritually and physically, that giving honour unto the wife, that respect there. And when the wife is going through a particular trial, the husband to give that respect and come alongside and put his hand round his wife and seek to comfort. Cause his wife to sit down, let's pray together, let's read together. Let the husband be used by God, and you husbands, pray day by day that God would use you to be a great blessing to your wife, particularly in the veil of suffering. David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Here's the word of God, isn't it? His instruction for us. We who are husbands, we have a duty to comfort our wives. We're fourthly and finally tonight. A comforted wife. A comforted wife. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. She was comforted. And though she knew great distress in her heart, she knew a measure of peace. David would have reminded her of the grace of God. Remember, she had committed adultery. David would have pointed out that his sin was forgiven. Bathsheba, you seek the Lord, if not already, your sin will be forgiven. And the comforter in Bathsheba was comforted. She was grieved over what she had done, but now she's comforted. The Lord had put away her sin as well. But then consider also further. She had lost the child. She knew that great grief. But she knows a measure of comfort now. Her little one's in heaven. And like with David, she will go and see her little one day. She will go to glory. She knew comfort. Though there were many tears. And how many days afterwards. And through her life she would look back and grieve over that little one. But she knew a measure of comfort. There was a strengthening and she could go on. And dear brethren, what a blessing it is when the Lord comforts our souls so we can go on the next day. Go on and serve the Lord. Thank the Lord for the comfort we can know whilst we go through the valley. The Holy Spirit can take the word and apply it. And when our souls can be distressed, but then we know a measure of comfort. There may be still many tears, but there's a measure of peace. And why? It's because of the grace of God, isn't it? Why do we need comfort? We don't merit comfort. We don't merit any tranquility coming into our souls and resting therein. It's all because of the grace of God. In His grace He picks us up. In His grace He leads us on to a new day. Blessed be His name. He's the God of all comfort. He uses instruments like husbands, as we see here. Here was David. That we might know comfort. And dear brethren, what a blessing as we pass through this veil of tears. As we shall consider the Lord's Day evening, only till heaven and that world to come will there be a wiping away of tears. But as we pass through this veil of tears, comfort can enter the soul and find a resting place. Yes, there's peace and it can be disturbed again. But all we do know comfort. And why? Because of the grace of God. May you know comfort this coming week. Amen. Let's turn to our second psalm, Psalm 51.